I mentioned this morning about our outreach packages that we still have some remaining to be distributed. And if you would like to take a map, we need your help to get these concluded. There are about 7 maps, I think, maybe 6 only remaining to be done out of a total of 41. And we are very thankful for the ministry that has been done. Pray over them. The Word of God goes into the homes of people. Maybe it's the first time they ever hear the gospel, first time they ever read anything about it. And yet this is the power of God unto salvation. And so it's our hope and prayer that he will use that for his own honor. This morning I mentioned a word of thanks to those who have been working on much of the improvements that you see going on around us here in preparation for school starting again. And we really appreciate the work of 3 of our young men, of our students, who have been hired to work through the summer, Josh Santos and Daniel Santos. And of course, we were praying for Daniel this morning. The nuts and bolts that came out of his shoulder after the surgery, they had to re-undo a few things. His dad showed me a picture on his phone there, and I thought, man, I could have used those screws in the workshop. We could put those to use in the slide and the playground equipment and screw it all back together nice and tight. Anyways, that's what they do these days, and they're able to do amazing things. So we had those all removed just last Thursday, and we pray for healing upon Daniel as well. And then Matthew Bryant has been helping a lot in this area. We appreciate the hard work of these young people. They were hired to do the job, but nonetheless, they've worked very hard as well. One of the major projects we're doing is a playground that's going to be used for the after-school department and also for other grades in our school. A swing set will be put in there and also a climbing frame and a larger place for the kids to play soccer, and yet it will be constrained by a fence just for safety purposes. And so I really want to thank our brother Alec Newell, who has worked tirelessly the last 3 days this week and also on Saturday. He took 3 days out of his own work, business working, to come and we really thank him for that, because a lot of groundwork was done. You know, over the years, you pile up brush and stuff gets in the field at the back, and it just kept mounting bigger and bigger. And then actually some neighbor, we call him a neighbor, I call him a pesky neighbor, he came with his dump truck and dumped a couple of loads of stuff in the field there because he thought, well, maybe this is just okay to do that. And so we had to clear that and move it, and making some berms and taking away a lot of brush, and there was a lot of things that were mulched up and so on. And so if you're missing any clothing from after-school program, you'll probably find it all mulched and shredded. It's out there in the field somewhere, and it might be of use. I don't know, bits and pieces here and there. But we did our best not to make too much of a mess. So, Brother Alex, we thank you very much for doing that, and we appreciate those who have labored very much for this purpose and for this work. When it's all done, we believe it'll be to a benefit, certainly, of our school and to all of our children. But we pray it will be an honorable testimony to the Lord and to the community of what we are attempting to do here in honor to his great name. Please turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 11. We're going to read in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, from the opening verse down to, verse number 14. Actually, we're going to read beyond that tonight, because the context is very important for us to get the whole picture of what was happening here. And the history that we read from Psalm 78, you will quickly make the connection here as well. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. And now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in mills, and beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people, to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. The Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of thy spirit, which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt, therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. We'll end our reading there, please, at verse 23 and we will bow before the Lord for prayer. Father, I pray that tonight, as the Word of God now is opened, that our hearts would be opened to the Word. Please take away distractions that so often intrude upon a sacred hour. I pray that I will be filled with the Spirit of God to speak with the authority of the Holy Ghost. And I pray, Father, that everyone here in this meeting and listening online would have their hearts touched by the Spirit of God to both hear and understand and do. Dear Father, bless us. Deliver us from the times of our unbelief, the times of our denial of truth, the times, Lord, when we fail to take thee at thy word and rest upon the promise which has so faithfully been shown to us and reinforced time and time again. But Lord, we are weak and faltering, and you know our frame and remember that we are dust. Lord, come to our aid tonight, we pray. Speak to our hearts. Lift us up and encourage us in the Savior. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For thy promise is that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hear our prayers now tonight and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord asks a question to Moses here in verse 23. And he said to him, "Is my hand waxed short? Has my hand become weak?" That's what God was saying to his servant. And he asks us that question tonight. And believer, I want you to think about that carefully. Is the hand of God weak in your life? Is the mountain of trouble too great for God to move that you have in front of you? Is the sea of your turmoil so rough and deep that your faith will be capsized and it will sink? Is the expanse of space between the unsaved loved one that you have been praying for a long time, is that expanse too great to be spanned by the grace and power of God? To these questions, God Himself has something to ask us. Am I able for these problems? Is my hand powerful enough to come to rescue you in the time of your greatest need? When your back is against the wall, when you are in a corner and you have no place to go, is God able to deliver you? This was posed to Moses, the servant of the Lord. Remember Moses, the meekest man in all the earth? Remember Moses, the man whom God raised up to deliver Israel out of Pharaoh's power and from Egypt? Remember Pharaoh, the man whose staff was thrown down and it became a serpent and a snake and ate up the serpents of Pharaoh's magicians? Remember Moses, the man with the staff who came to the edge of the Red Sea and held up that staff and said, "Depart." And by the power of God, they departed. This mighty man, this Moses, well, God asked him that question on that day about the hand of God. And what he was doing, he was dealing with the doubting of his servant. He was dealing with the unbelief of his faithful, meek man. It is interesting, in the following chapter, it is the chapter in Numbers that records where Aaron and Miriam came out against Moses because he had married an Ethiopian woman, and they were not happy about that, and they said, Is God only speaking through Moses? Does he not speak through us as well? And when the Lord heard that, he said, "Come here, Aaron, Miriam, Moses, stand outside." And the Lord went on to say, "Generally I speak through prophets to my people, and I communicate by them by dreams and visions, but not with Moses. With him I speak mouth to mouth. And who is the person that's going to stand against my servant? Moses was a faithful, God-ordained man, and he was the spokesman of God to the people, and the Lord had raised him up. And yet we find here that God dealing with his servant in a time of his own weakness. Before we get to that, though, I want you to think tonight, because we're dealing with this question about God's ability. Is the hand of God weak? I want you to notice in the first place the human impossibility of the situation. The human impossibility of the situation that faced Moses. So this question to Moses from God came relatively early in their ministry. And I say early because they had been in the wilderness now for just over 2 years. The tabernacle was now completed. You see, when they left Egypt, they crossed over the Red Sea, and then they made their journeyings to Mount Sinai, and there they had been abiding at Mount Sinai for some time. They were abiding there until the tabernacle was built, the instructions given, as I commented this morning, in the book of Exodus. And when that was finished, now it was the inaugural march, if you like, of the tabernacle. And so they were going to make a 3-day journey. And when the cloud of the Lord, the Shekinah glory, began to move, that was the marching order for the people. This was the first time they were going to gather up camp. They were going to follow the priests that were bearing the different elements and parts of the tabernacle. And they were going to set it up again in 3 days. Now, 600,000 footmen we have recorded here, which you then know quite clearly by the multiplication of the wives and children, there were well over 2 million people that were involved in this particular move. So it was no light thing. And in chapter 11, we are confronted with these words, and when the people complained, the opening words of that verse, when the people complained, the Lord heard it. He was displeased. He was very angered with their complaint against God for not providing for them what they felt they needed. And he brought judgment upon them swiftly by fire. And then Moses prayed, interceded for the people, and God heard their prayer. But then the next verse talks about the mixed multitude. Those that had come with them from Egypt, that were still there in the gathering of God's people, they fell lusting. And they lusted a lust. That's really what that says in the Hebrew. They lusted a lust. They saying, who will give us flesh to eat? And then they began to think back of what life was like when we were in Egypt. And they thought about all the things they had. They were relishing the cucumbers, the leeks, the onions. They were looking at the flesh pots that they had meat in abundance to have. Yes, but maybe they forgot a couple of other things. They forgot the bondage. They forgot the whip. But they remembered the things that satisfied their senses. Their complaint, it turned into a very grievous weeping before God as they willfully refused the supply that God had provided for them, and they lusted for flesh and meat. And dear friends, this is a good and strong warning for us as God's people. Because here, these people were brought first of all to complaining before God, but the complaint then quickly turned into a pouring out of their tears before God, a weeping. And the weeping was a weeping of strong crying and complaining. It was a whining type of weeping. It was a rejecting of God's supply of the manna, and they said, we've had enough of this manna. We want no more of God's supply. Friends, let us be careful. When you and I seek for fulfillment in life, that we turn not again to the things of the world that once gave us satisfaction. When we become dissatisfied with what God has given to us, and with His supply, we're in danger of running after the very thing that will be our own destruction. If we continue to yearn for that which is against God's purpose in our lives, beware that He does not grant us the very request. Mr. Spurgeon commented, "Israel might have unprayed her prayers had she known what would have come with their answer. The prayer of lust will have to be wept over. We fret and fume till we have our desire, and then we have to fret still more because the attainment of its end ends in bitter disappointment." But the cry and weeping of the people for flesh to eat is going to be granted by the Lord, and He is angered by their blatant tempting of His grace and of His provision. They said, "Who will give us flesh to eat?" In other words, God supplied this manna, really? So who is going to be the one to feed us with what we really need, what we really want? It was as much of an in-your-face toward the Lord as any other statement could have been. Who could do this? They challenged, they tempted the Lord. And the Lord responds to them, "You will have flesh to eat, but not just for one day or two or 10 or 20, but you're going to have flesh to eat for a whole month, a month of days. So much so that this is going to come out of your nose." And that's just a simple reference for the gluttony that they were going to be guilty of then. They were going to be sick to their stomachs, and they were going to be vomiting out the very flesh that they so longed to have and to satisfy their sensual desires. And yes, this promise of an overabundant supply of the flesh, God will give by way of judgment. And the people that lusted and complained, they moaned, they wept, they griped, they yelped. They did everything against the Lord to the point that He determined to give them their heart's desire. And He gave them plenty of it. You and I need to be very careful that we do not complain and cry and moan to the Lord of something that we think we need or something that we think will fulfill our life. Because if we do it long enough, and we do it with enough griping, maybe God will give us what we long for. And if that happens, it will be a time of our repenting. It will be a time of remorse. It will be a time of sadness. And we're told in Psalm 106, verse 15, another portion of historical record for us, relating to this very account, that God gave them their request, but He sent leanness into their soul. And some commentators say it should be translated fullness. So God sent a fullness into their soul, and it lines up actually with Psalm 78:29. "So they did eat and were yet filled, for He gave them their own desire." So the Lord gave them fullness. He satisfied them. Oh no, it was much more than that. When someone's greed and gluttony for sensual satisfaction takes over, it distorts the real good. And we fail to see that what God provides for us, it may not be exactly what we think we need, but God's supply for us is always the right one. And when we follow Him and be satisfied, indeed the Apostle Paul said, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." And believer, you and I will gain in our fellowship and walk with the Lord as we pray over the very supply and the benefits and the graces, the provision that God gives to us, and say, "Lord, along with that provision, please give me contentment. Help me to be satisfied with what I have, with what You've given to me." You know, when Moses hears of this provision, he begins to calculate by human accounting how so many people will be fed in the wilderness. You know, when you read this in the account, you think, because you look at Moses as being like a superhuman person that never would doubt God, would never have a question of this magnitude, especially when he knows the Lord has fed the people with the manna. So now he's saying, are we going to have to slay all the flocks that we have in the herds in order to feed the people? Is this even possible? for all the fish in the sea to be delivered. Tells us something, you know, about the weakness and the short-sightedness of even of one of God's choicest servants. Men, at best, are but men. And every one of us have feet of clay. And therefore, if you're a believer and you've been on the road for some time, but you look at other older Christians, you look at a believer that's been on the road, say, for more years than you have, and maybe you see some flaws in their character. Maybe you see some areas where they have tripped or stumbled. And you look at that person, they're supposed to be an example. Wait a minute, be careful about that. Because here was Moses, a man that God highly exalted, the meekest man in the earth, a man he spoke mouth to mouth with. And yet here was Moses at a point of weakness. It is against this human impossibility that God asked the question, is the Lord's hand become short? Is God not able to meet your present need? Can He not, believer, reach right into your life circumstance so that you will be able to have your impossible situation met? What is the impassable mountain that you have and the maze that you just cannot seem to get out of? The hand of our God is not limited. It is great, and He is able to go beyond those human restrictions that we build up in our own hearts. He is able, my dear friend, to deliver you. He is able to deliver us, and He wants us to rest in Him. It's madness, you know, on our part for us to limit God by our own perception, and thereby we restrict Him. We think that His hand is going to be somewhat connected with our perception of how things can be done, but with the Lord, nothing is impossible. That's what the messengers said to Abraham, and they said it to Sarah, you will have a child, for nothing is impossible with the Lord. My friend, maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. And I say to you, of all the human impossibilities, the salvation of your soul is a great miracle that you cannot do yourself, and no other man can do it. This is something that only can be done by God. But I say to you tonight that the hand of God is not shortened, that He cannot save you. And you can know the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation in your heart. How would it be possible for a sinful man to come into the presence of a holy God? With men, indeed, it is impossible, but not with the Lord, my friend. Tonight, you can know the peace of God that passes all understanding by confessing that you are a sinner and confessing that you need forgiveness of your sin. And you call out by faith upon the Lord Jesus. And my dear friend, He will hear your prayer, and He is more than able to save your soul. You know, you cannot come to this impossibility, and you cannot find a way out of it yourself. The greatest question is, how can a man be just with God and with you yourself? It is impossible for you to do it. But you come, my dear friend, tonight and bring that impossibility to the Lord, and you will find He makes it gloriously possible by His great grace, for He is able to do exceeding abundantly. He says in Isaiah 43, verse 11, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Come unto me, He said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation of your soul is gloriously possible, even though it is an impossibility for you yourself. I want you to notice also tonight, secondly, God's gracious and gentle response to His doubting servant. Moses was guilty here, we could say, of rather a brazen unbelief in questioning whether such a crowd could be fed with meat. But the Lord understood his servant's fainting, and he asks him, "Is the Lord's hand able for this, do you think, Moses?" You see, the burden was great upon Moses at this time, and we cannot forget the context that we have been reading about. He was surrounded by a great difficulty, and he claimed that he could not bear the people. There were too many for him, and it was an overwhelming burden. If you think, my friend, in your life your burdens are difficult, place yourself in Moses' situation for a moment. All of these people to lead out in the Exodus, 2 million people, he's trying to oversee and work with them. He's exhausted, he's burned out, and then complaint after complaint after complaint, and the murmuring goes on, and he says, "Lord, I can't do it." Look what he says in chapter 11, verse 14. "I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. It's too heavy for me." You find, my dear friend, very quickly in life that things often become too heavy for you. You can't bear them yourself. You cannot pick them up. It's very, very difficult to move them. And Moses was here with his back against the wall. And this difficulty that faced him was one that led him to the point of saying, "Lord, I have failed you. You need to take my life away now." Yes, Moses came to the point where he said, "Lord, kill me. Take my life. I failed you. I can't do the job you've called me to do." My dear friend, if you've ever been in that circumstance, and I'm not talking about just a passing thought, but if you've ever been in that circumstance where you think there's no way out and it's overwhelming for you and you have no answer and you have no solution, no escape, maybe you're at the point of saying to the Lord, "It's better if you just take my life away. Just take me home. Lord, I'm not worthy of your service and work, and I can't fulfill the job that you've called me to do." Yes, friend, it's possible for you to feel that way. It's possible for this preacher to feel that way. It was very possible, and Moses also felt that way, for he was a man overwhelmed. And if we have been there before, and maybe at more times than just once, think, coming back to the scriptures, and the Lord would say to Moses, "What about Egypt and Pharaoh? What about the Red Sea? What about the meeting at the burning bush? Moses, do you remember those things?" Even the best of God's saints can lose focus. And there are times when we are overwhelmed by our situation. And the Lord reminds us in our doubting times, "What about the day when I saved you? Do you remember that, Christian? Do you remember the joy you had when you first met the Lord and your sins were forgiven and you were walking above the ground, it seemed? And you knew peace with God and you knew the joy of Christ in your heart and nothing could take that joy away from you. You possessed that in your heart and it was a time of great rejoicing. What about the time when you just brought your prayer to the Lord and no one else knew anything about it? It was a great mountain. You couldn't get over it. You prayed and prayed and the Lord answered your prayer and delivered you. And you stepped back and said, 'This is nothing but the hand of God.'" You can testify of those times. You remember those times. But maybe now things have changed a bit. Maybe your heart's gone a bit cold. We can wander and drift away from the Lord, you know. And maybe it's not quite the way it used to be with us. And we have to say, "Oh God, I'm afraid. Things have been drifting and cooling off. It's time for the fire of God to come again to our souls. It's time that we prayed for the Holy Ghost to come and get a grip of our minds and our hearts and to come and devote ourselves afresh to the work of Christ and the will of God." Yes, the Lord knows our times of fainting. He knows our times of weakness. Let us not forget the guiding and providing hand of the living God, who is our God. He is our Savior. He has saved you, Christian, from 1,000 issues. He has saved you from many more seen and unseen issues. And the Lord has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will not leave you destitute. I am there for you and with you, and I will never abandon my child. The Lord then would go on and say to us, have you forgotten what I have done for you in giving you my son? Have you forgotten the promises that I have presented to you in him? Have you forgotten what Romans 8 says, that if I have given you my son, how shall I not also freely with him give you all things? The Lord has promised to us he will provide all our needs. Is my hand shortened that it cannot save, that he cannot help? That's what the Lord is saying to us tonight. My dear friend, the hand of God is not powerless. In Psalm 95, it says, the sea is his and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. And then in Joshua 4, we're told that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. And I love this one in Isaiah 41, verse 20, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One hath created it. We are often restrained by a reach that is too short for an object that is too far off. We recognize this in a very simple way, especially when you're in a grocery store and there's something on the top shelf because it's all run out down here, and you're reaching up and you're stretching. You're almost tempted to get up on the shopping cart and see if you can reach it there. Not advisable. But nonetheless, you're reaching something. You're almost at it. And you're stretching with all you have, but you just cannot get it. And sometimes in a spiritual sense, we find ourselves reaching and stretching and out, and we just cannot gather or grasp that object. It's beyond our natural limits. And sometimes we feel that it's beyond our spiritual limit as well. But this is never the case with the Lord, the God of creation and of salvation. For nothing is outside of the reach of our God. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Behold, the Lord's hand is able to save. And he is not limited by our idea of limitation. But I want to close tonight with the third point, and simply this, the definite answer that was given in verse number 23. The Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. You have doubt, Moses? Doubt no more. Not only is my hand long enough to do this, I'm going to reassure you and show you again my power. I've shown it to you at the Red Sea. I've shown it to you so many other times, but you're going to see it again. It's interesting to notice the first time that the hand of the Lord appears in the Bible. It's found in Exodus 9 in verse 3. It says this, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon the cattle which are in the field and upon the horses. It was one of the plagues, and the first, the plague that came against them, the cattle, about the grievous murrain. It was the hand of the Lord that did this. But then the second time when the hand of the Lord is mentioned, it has to do with Exodus 16:3. Would to God, the people said, we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots that were there. You know, we draw understanding from the record of Scripture and from the various contexts of how the Lord presents this, and his hand being shown, his hand of power, his hand of provision. Yes, and sometimes his hand of conviction upon his people. But the Lord always provides for his children. And whatever the hand of God comes upon us, sometimes it seems to be heavy. Sometimes it seems to be in correction that is hard to bear. Let us never forget this. God's hand upon his people is never to do us harm, but always and only to do us good, even if it is in a hand of correction. Oh, child of God, do not despise, therefore, what God is doing and has done in your life. And let us draw some conclusion tonight from these accounts and from this scripture. Let us beware of looking at our circumstances and judging God's inability. Be careful we don't measure things of the Lord by our human ways. And then secondly, notice, beware of complaining and tempting God with foolish statements or prayers. He may just answer them. And thirdly, we are always within reach of the sovereign hand of our Heavenly Father who may need to take us sometimes by the scruff of the neck in order to restrain our silly actions. But know this, that the Lord always has us within his reach. And know that the Lord, our God's generosity, is abundant. And he provides for us, even in the times of our own foolishness. The Lord's hand is mighty toward us. Mighty to save, mighty to provide, mighty to keep. And he will never, ever forsake and fail his people. My dear friend, bring whatever your impossibility is to the Lord tonight. And rest in his power, in your life. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Lord, I pray that tonight that you would not be grieved with our weak and fainting times. And Lord, yes, I know we need to be corrected. But I pray that we will not sin against thee by our moaning or complaining. Please help us, Lord, to see clearly thy great providential love and purpose in all that you have mapped out for our lives. Grant us, Lord, each day that we will walk by faith and not sight. Help us, Lord, each day to be drawn closer to thee and to see the evidences in the past of thy gracious moving in our lives, that we will not doubt, Lord, what needs to be done in the future. Lord, be with every believer in this fellowship tonight and those listening online. I pray for any who are unsaved, they would come to faith in Christ. Watch over us now, we pray. Separate us in thy fear and with thy love and mercy. And keep us until we gather again in thy house. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.